Ezra chapter 4 and verse 3. The Jews reply. Actually, the Jews refuse. But I say reply because I want to emphasize that their reply is a refusal. Ezra 4 verse 3. Now, you've heard me say several times that I've had to say some pretty strong things against Israel, against Judah, against the Hebrew people in their history. They have failed miserably. But from time to time, especially so far in the book of Ezra, they seem to have shone out. They wanted to get back from the captivity. They wanted to restore the temple. They wanted to get back to Jerusalem. They really wanted to go back to the covenant again. And it's been a commendable experience. They really have put their heart and soul into it at the moment. Of course, they're only human and they're sinners, and they need the prophets Zechariah, Haggai, and Malachi to keep encouraging them and reproving them. Nothing's perfect here, but they have at least tried to reestablish the temple. But now, as we have seen, these enemies of Judah and Benjamin, these Samaritans, chapter 4, verse 1, they come to the exiles, and you see, they're still exiles, these people. They're not living in comfort. They're not living in the normal Hebrew setup. They're still under the domination of Cyrus, king of Persia, verse 3. Oh, yes, they're still exiles. But they're really trying, and now to set back the temple. And now these enemies have come and said, now we'll come and help you. You know, we were like you. Now, we saw that in the previous discourse. How did the Jews reply? Well, they refused. That's the point. Get the point, my friend. They refused. It's a gem of a verse. The leaders, at least, refused. But Zerubbabel, what a but. What a but. What a glorious but. But Zerubbabel, Jeshua, and the rest of the heads of the families of Israel answered. How did they answer? Here is the Samaritans. They're sort of half connected to the Jews. They have something in common here. And they're only offered to help. They've been on the same side. How do the Jews respond, these leaders? Get lost. Go away. We want nothing to do with you. You have no part with us in building a temple to our God. We alone will build it. We alone. There's no part for you here. We alone will build this temple. It's not for us. It's not for Cyrus. It's not for you. It's for the Lord. It's for the God of the Hebrews. We alone will build it for the Lord, the God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us, and so on. But, of course, it's the word of God they're going back to. They want to build the temple again. They want to set up the priesthood again. They want to reestablish the covenant, which they have been so guilty in breaking. It's a glorious but. We got our ideas to offer you. We've got our schemes. We can help you. We've got tools. We've got kit. You can hear all the offers. We don't want any of your kit. We don't want any of your gear. We don't want your hands. We don't want your help. We don't want your thoughts. We don't want your ideas. We alone will build this temple. There's no compromise. You have no part with us. Go away. You see, we're still exiles, yes. We're down on our uppers, yes. But we're going to do this work and do it without you. And they do it bluntly. They say it bluntly. They put it straight to these people. No. Now, does this need application? Well, of course, it's the word of God. We've got to say, what's the use of it with William Perkins, the Puritan? What is the use of it? You know, it's not just a historical piece of museum stuff, is it? What can we make of it? What does it need to be spelled out? Don't you see the application, brother, sister, in Christ? If you've ever heard me discourse before, you'll know what's coming. Is there nothing equivalent to this in the New Testament? Is there nothing to help us to see how the New Covenant churches, the Ecclesia, would have responded to this or should have responded? Well, read 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Paul writing to the Corinthians, come out from among them, be ye separate, says the Lord. Don't touch the unclean thing. Have nothing to do with these people. Don't be unequally yoked with them. Don't join up with the world. You can see the lesson to 2 Corinthians 6:14 into chapter 7, verse 1. Read it and see for yourself. Read 3 John 7. They went out, these people preaching the gospel, and they got no help from the pagans. I suppose that means the pagans didn't help them, but I'll tell you what it does mean. They didn't want the pagans to help them. They were going to take the gospel to the pagans. How can the pagans help in the gospel? How can the pagans have any ideas for the church or any kit or tools or hands to help in the work of the house of God? The house of God in the new covenant is not a building, of course. It's the believers, the ecclesia. Can you see the equivalent? We don't want any help from the world. We are here to take the gospel to the world. The world is dead in trespasses and sins. The world is lost. They can't join in the ecclesia. They need to be converted first. All the evidence of the New Testament is that they were converted outside the ecclesia, baptized, and then added to the ecclesia. You may say, well, what about the children of believers and so on? Yes, but hard cases make bad law. What I'm trying to say is we don't legislate for the hard cases. Of course, the gospel is preached within the ecclesia, and of course, the children can be converted in the ecclesia, within the confines of the ecclesia. And of course, any unbeliever stumbling in, we get this in 1 Corinthians 14, then yes, well, of course they can be converted. But the main way of conversion is outside the ecclesia, and the unbeliever is converted and baptized and comes into the ecclesia. But we certainly don't go to the pagans for their ideas. But that's what the evangelicals are doing. How do they run their affairs? How do they cope? How do they get their arenas filled? How do they get their shops filled? How do they sell their stuff online? How do they do it? How do they attract people to the theatres? What do they do? Oh, we'll try that. How do they win football matches or Olympic cycling or whatever it is? How can they win? How do they try? We'll copy their methods. We'll copy their methods. Let the Hebrews teach us, my friend. We want the same stamp today. We want leaders like this. Are you a leader? The leader said no. Will you say no to the world? Will you say no to all this re-engineering of the church? God says, Psalm 50, verse 16, what have you to do, you pagans, in reciting my laws, reciting my statutes, declaring my word? What have you got to do with it? Nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you at all. Unbeliever. If you're a church attender or at the moment listening to all this live streaming and stuff, if you think that's going to save you, no. It's adding to your curse until you're regenerate. You need Christ. Trust him now. If you want a part in the church, you must be converted to Christ first. You must be joined to Christ before you can ever be joined to any assembly. Well, I won't go on laboring this, but the point is so clear. It's a glorious verse to me. They came, make their offers. No, we will go on, however difficult it might be. And we know in Nehemiah they have to carry a sword and a trowel to try and defend themselves. We shall see this coming. Let me close with two verses from two hymn writers, one Thomas Kelly and one Isaac Watts. Here's Kelly. 'Tis thy will, God's will, that we should be, believers should be, separate from all around. Let our will with thine agree. Let thy people thus be found. Amen, Thomas Kelly. Spot on. And now here's Isaac Watts. Zion's a garden walled around, chosen and made peculiar ground, a little spot enclosed by grace, out of the world's wide wilderness. The Hebrews saw it. We're in the wilderness, yes. We're back in the promised land, but it's all in ruins. But we will build this temple, and we don't want the pagans poking their nose in. And we won't have it. God, give us such a spirit. We are here to help and be a blessing. And the help and the blessing we can be is to preach and live the gospel before sinners to see them converted. And if you're an unbeliever, arise and be converted. And if you're a child of God, then encourage fellow believers to maintain this separation to the glory of God for Christ's sake. Amen.